Well, we're looking at Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to continue on and working our way through this book. As I mentioned, I preached from Galatians earlier today, and we'll get to that passage again, and we'll actually go over it again in a few weeks. But here we are looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 6, and we'll preach here as we continue to stand fast in the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, not being encumbered or tangled up in the works of the law, circumcision or other things of the law. The Bible says here in verse number 2 of Galatians 5, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are," and this phrase we hear different people say, and they use it in one way or another, "fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And of course, circumcision, the physical act of what they would have done then in those days for in the Old Testament to fulfill the law. And so the Apostle Paul uses this as kind of the barrier there to say, here's where you're trusting in, and is trying to shoot holes in that trust in anything, but that's the specific thing that he names here. God uses him to name as people are trusting in what they can do instead of what God has already done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we're going to preach a little while again, and then we will have a good time. I hope you're able to stay and go over to the Family Life Center. If you're able to stay for just a few moments, you're able to stay for a long time, we'll have a good time together. We've got snacks and things provided. We'll have a great family time, so we won't try to get out too late from here, so we can go over and have a good time together. Father, bless us now is our prayer. As we look into your word, I pray that your word looks into us, dear Lord. And I pray that you'd knock out of us some things that ought not to be there. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd set us on that firm foundation of thus saith the word of God. And I pray that you'd make it real to us this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's like the apostle takes some more swings at these people to try to convince them that you, as he points his finger at them, you are not saved by the things that you do. And now you say, I know, Pastor, we've already heard this, we've already gone over it, but it bears repeating because we're preaching through this book, but it bears repeating because one thing I know for sure, as people are Christians, and then sometimes they stay Christians for a long time, and they get further and further away from who they were before Christ, you watch it, you'll get to a place where you have such disdain, and you should, for your old self, for the things you used to do, your dependence on yourself and your ability. Yes, I get that. But sometimes we'll also get looking down our long nose at people who do the same things that you used to do. Can I remind you that when you get disgusted at somebody that's not saved and you look at them, they're only doing what you did. You say, oh, I didn't do it that bad. Well, if we'd have given you more time, you probably would have. Thankfully, the Lord caught you and saved you before you made a total mess of things possibly. So we see that, and I notice that when people, they're saved for a long time and get to come to church and sit and try to clean themselves up and do the things that the Lord moves on their heart to do. And thank God for all that process that the Holy Spirit does in your life. But here's where it needs to stop. We need not to look down at somebody who hasn't got to where you are and say, shame on you for that. Well, shame on us for being so high and mighty, thinking that we're the new spirit or the litmus test of spirituality. So we get started here again, and the apostle under God's inspiration is just taking another swing at it, taking another swipe at it to make sure that they understand they're not justified by keeping the law. We're looking at verse number 2, 3, and 4 here. And we see something I'm going to label it as, it's all or nothing. Because he says in verse number 2, if you want to count on circumcision or an act of the law, then Christ shall profit you. He benefits you nothing. And he says in verse number 2, because if you're doing this thing, then now you become, at the end of verse number 3, you're a debtor to the whole law. And so if you're going to start holding one thing up as a litmus test of salvation, and now here's where it gets to us, people in churches like ours that have been taught presumably the truth. We've been taught what the Scripture says. We understand that somebody doesn't get saved by doing good works. We got that. But we think if somebody's been saved long enough, then they ought to come to the same conclusion that I do about every single issue. And if they didn't, shame on them. we don't say that anybody has to do a certain thing to get saved, but boy, they've been saved long enough, they should have came to the same conclusion that I have about that particular matter. So be careful, because one of these days I'm going to preach a message, I think, about principles out of the Word of God. There's precepts in the Word of God that are clearly listed, and then there's some preferences in there that you and I can have that aren't necessarily spelled out, but it's a preference, and maybe it's a good one, it's a great one. But you have to be careful in those preferences that you've come up to, and you say, this is where I'm going to stand, or this is where my family's going to stand. You have to be careful not to hold with such fervor those in the same way that you do the precepts that are clearly written in the Word of God. And so that's not the message, but one of these days I may preach that. But I'm saying this evening, that the Apostle Paul used of God to say, if you're going to hold this one part, and he specifically says circumcision, if you're going to hold that one part of the law, watch out, buddy, because now you're a debtor to everything. And that's why I'm saying it's all or nothing. And so it seems to as if the apostle is saying, why would you go back to those beggarly elements? Why would you go back to what you got out of when the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down upon you? A friend of mine rides a Harley a lot of times, and you know those motorcycles, they at first start off as bicycles. I mean, long ago, before motorcycles were invented, and then somebody had the great idea of putting a little engine on there, and then that got to be a little cumbersome at first, and they weren't as reliable as they are now, and those early motorcycles, and then they just got more and more refined, and now this friend of mine that does that, you'd never catch him on a bicycle. I think he'd be like the Apostle Paul. I'm not going back to those beggarly elements of a bicycle. I've got as how many horses right here in my Harley Davidson. And so it's as if the apostle is used of God to say, we've got this motorcycle of grace. We're not going back to that bicycle, and you should have a bicycle because that helps you get some exercise. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have. My mother-in-law would have said, no, those are motorcycles anyways. You don't want those because they're too dangerous. But we see that it's either all or nothing. And you can understand what I mean. Somebody that would have a motorized bicycle would say, why would I go back to what I used to have to work for? Now I get to ride this with ease. So regardless of what you feel about bicycles, motorcycles, or the like, I do know that biblically, when we find ourselves in grace, salvation by grace, that we ought to look back and say, oh, what a mess that was before I came to faith in Christ, when I had to worry about how I was living. I had to worry about whether I was in or out, or whether my salvation was present or not present. Oh, what a painful thing to think back. And the apostle comes and he says, listen, if you're going to do one, you're going to have to do them all. And it's either all or nothing. So I want you to look at that phrase, though, as we're continuing on in verse number 4, and we see that phrase, fallen from grace. All my life I've heard people use this phrase to mean that you've lost your salvation. You have fallen from grace. This, I don't believe it's at all what it means, because you may have fallen out of some some things that you used to do in the faith. I believe that many of us can backslide, any of us, all of us, can get to a place where we're not as fervent as we were, and we may come and cool off in our spiritual walk. But I believe as you look at this verse, we see if Christ has become of no effect to you, if you're saying that you're justified by the law, then you have fallen, or you've given up on grace. And so I do not believe, because you compare Scripture with Scripture, where it says that the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ provides to you was done by Him through His work on His merit and by none of your ability. So I do not believe, as you compare Scripture with Scripture, that you see this phrase, fallen from grace, mean what some people think it means, and some would teach that it means that you were saved, you came to faith in Jesus Christ, you were a born-again child of God, but now you have fallen away from grace. And you say, how do you not think that that doesn't mean that? Well, remember here, what did you do to get saved to begin with? The Bible says all you did was you came to faith in Jesus Christ. You received Him as your Savior because it was the God, it was the Lord that wooed you. He pulled you. He convicted you. And then when you accepted His gift of salvation, you turned to Him from your sins and turned to Jesus Christ. Then He saved you. That was none of your merit. And so if I don't have anywhere to fall from, that came on my works. So when you teach that you're fallen from grace, and you mean that that means you were saved, now you're not saved, you've fallen away from that position, that would mean, that would indicate that I did something to get to that position to begin with, and then I fell from it. But I'm telling you through Scripture, and we've read all this in Galatians, we didn't do anything to get to that position, so we personally, in our own selves, didn't have anything to fall from. And so I hope that clears it up. Now, we understand that in this verse, it's speaking positionally that if you are saying that you're justified by law, then you have taken a fall, you have given up on, or you have left the doctrine of grace. So that's why I list this first couple of verses as it's all or nothing. You either have to believe it's all Jesus Christ, and that means Him alone, or else you did something for it. And if you did one thing for it, then you've got to do all the things for it. So does God bring this salvation to you and I as a joint venture? You know, you hear about that in business. It's a joint venture. It's partly you, partly me. And we come together and pull our capital and then we go forward in a business deal. That'd be a joint venture. You understand it's not a joint venture with me and God. Oh, I'm thankful I got in on it. But I didn't bring anything to the table. He did all of that. And so we understand. I hope that clears some things up as we work our way through. But I want you to look down at verse number 5. We got verse 2, 3, 4. The Bible says, "For we through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." It seems to be the only prophetic statement, if it is prophetic, in the book of Galatians. And I love the thoughts about prophecy. Brother Steve's been talking some in one of the Sunday school classes about end times and things. I love that. But this book gives the nuts and bolts of living presently, especially in those first couple of chapters. But here we see that it looks forward to the completion of our salvation. And that completion is just like the start. And that completion is through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So please never don't ever worry when somebody says, or I'll mention it sometime, that our salvation is not completed. You say, wait a minute, I thought I got saved when I trusted Christ. You did. But in a very real way, you are still being saved. Because one of these days, God will save you completely out of this old sin-cursed world, and you won't have to worry about that flesh that we talked about this morning. So, yes, the deal is done, so to speak. The salvation is secured. Your soul is saved. God has saved you if you're born again. He's got that all wrapped up, but He hasn't saved you out of the very presence of sin, but one of these days He will. And so we see here in verse 5, through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And I say to that, praise the Lord, for one of these days, heaven is going to be our home. We're just as sure now as if we were already there, but we've got to live in this old sin-cursed world until God sees fit to take us on. We understand that the Spirit urges us to look for Christ's coming. And when He comes back and He receives us unto Himself, where we are, where He is, there we may be also, we'll understand then, as we understand now through the Scriptures, that it was by grace all the way. On our way up to see the Lord, on our way up to glory, we won't say, boy, I'm glad I held on to the end. Now, I believe when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, when we are, our works are judged, not our soul, but our works are judged, we'll be glad that we serve the Lord because we'll be able to have some reward to throw back at the Lord's feet. But even at that, it won't be a boastful thing that, well, I'm glad I really did what I could. I think we'll still regret some things that we could have done more. But all the way up, we'll rejoice through the Spirit as we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says over in Ephesians. these two words, grace, faith, are what we as Christians ought to be consumed with. Grace saved me, for by grace you're saved through faith. And faith was the vehicle that God gave me, that measure of faith, even that's from Him, that not of yourselves. Grace saved me, and that faith was that vehicle. But now that I'm saved, that faith in the Lord and faith that you have keeps us steady on the path that we're on by trusting His grace. So grace got us in, and grace keeps us going. Grace is a wonderful thing. So this whole body of teaching shows us that you cannot be justified by the law. And perhaps this verse in verse number 5, as it seems to indicate that it's looking toward the future, perhaps this verse is included just to remind us that we don't count on our works now, we won't count on our works then. Nobody in this church, nobody's ever preached in this church, nobody that ever came through and ministered in this church in any way is going to get to heaven and say, wow, God, you sure let a good one in here. We'll know that it was only through His work on the cross. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So I want you to look at verse number 6 as we continue and conclude on for tonight. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but, and or instead of those things, listen in the first part of the verse, but faith which worketh by love. But faith which worketh by love. Let me just look at those two words, faith and hope, as the Bible says, which worketh by love. Faith tells us what is to be done. Martin Luther, the old reformer, said this, faith tells us what is to be done. It teacheth, it prescribeth, and it directs. That's how we know oftentimes in our life, well, what should I do? I got faith in the Lord, and the Lord has led me to do this. It prescribes what needs to be done. Hope, on the other hand, Martin Luther says, is the exhortation which stirs the mind so that that mind might be bold and courageous, that it may suffer and endure adversity and wait for better things. When the Bible talks about our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why does God give us that hope? Because He knew how rotten our lives were going to be sometimes. He knew how disheartened we were going to get from time to time. And maybe in this generation, not as much as maybe some generations before, you understand that our forefathers have gone through some terrible, terrible times. But that hope of what Jesus Christ did for you also catapults you in to understand what He's going to do for you when He completes this whole thing and He takes you up to where you are. And you can go skipping through life with whistling as you go because you have hope in your heart because of what God has done. And we see in verse number 6, for in Jesus Christ neither uncircumcision, none of that or uncircumcision or circumcision mean anything, but faith which worketh in love. And we are supposed to be those people who live in faith. You say, Pastor, I already had faith back when I got saved. Yes, and now we're supposed to continue on in faith, believing that God, just like He worked it all out on the cross and then the empty tomb, He's also going to be just as sure when He works it out with a populated heaven of every nation, tongue, tribe, and kindred, because He's got it all worked out then, just like He had it all worked out the first part. Now, we understand that when you get to preaching like this about it being all of faith, all of grace rather, that's where some scoffers would say, and they would put down a church that teaches eternal salvation. Sometimes people will try to bait you and say, do you believe in eternal security? And I know what they mean. Usually I say, well, I usually talk about this salvation that God brings. He says it's eternal. That phrase, security eternal, is not in there, but salvation that is eternal, that's the only kind He dishes out. So you got to put it back on the Lord, so to speak. But they would say, you say, you're saved by grace through faith alone. And they would say, you claim that because you want to live however you want. And can I just give us our church help is what has helped me anyways. When people want to argue and they say, so are you saying that you can get saved and then they put some horrendous crime in there and then you can commit this and still be on your way to heaven? And I used to argue more than I do now, but typically what I do now is I just say, you're going to have to talk to somebody else because I haven't wanted to do what you just mentioned since I got saved. And because oftentimes the best rebuttal you have is personal experience. When somebody says, you're saying you can get saved one night and then next week you can go out and you can commit this horrendous crime, you say, you'll have to talk to somebody who wanted to go do that. Since Jesus saved me, I haven't wanted to do that stuff. You say, does that answer all the questions? No, it doesn't answer all the questions. And if they're argumentative, they're going to be argumentative after you're done as well. But I just don't choose to try to argue unless somebody is truly seeking what the truth is. Then we'll look in the Bible as long as they want to look on or look into it. But on the flip side of that, remember this. If you do run into somebody that just says, yep, I'm saved and I'm living however I want. You know, the Bible still teaches that if you're a child of God and you sin, you will be chastened of God because He chastens every son whom He receiveth. So that means if you or I can go sin and not have any repercussions of it, not have the Holy Spirit of God chasten you and chase you, then the Bible says you're not of His. So I can't tell that person, well, you mean if somebody did that, got saved, then they did that? Are you saying they're still saved? I say, I can tell you this. As a Christian, if you can continue on in sin without any conviction, without the Lord chasing you, then the Bible is very clear, then that person is not a child of God. This faith that God gave in verses 2, 4, 5, and 6, that God gave you is not a faith that remains idle. You know what idle? You know, an engine here. Go down one of these car shows, and those really souped-up engines, they idle. They have that, you know, that low on the cable. You know, and it gives that certain sound. Well, those cars weren't made to idle. They were made to run 110 mile an hour. They were geared to go. And so, your faith and my faith, it wasn't designed to just stay idle either. It was made to be exercised. It was made to get some distance going. We were saved to run. And so if you find yourself getting a little disheartened sometimes in your Christian walk, you might want to check and see, well, maybe I'm not exercising this faith like I should. Maybe that means you ought to get some gospel tracts back here by the water fountain and give it to the waitress as you go. Say, here's a little invitation to church, but that's not the most important thing. Most important thing is in there where it tells about Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to exercise that faith. Maybe you need to find that family member, that neighbor, whoever it is down the road that needs a part of your money more than you need part of your money, and get some groceries for them and show them the love of Christ. That faith of yours wasn't made to idle. It is made to run. It's made to go flat out. And so we understand that, no, you can't necessarily pinpoint and say, oh, so you've got to do this, 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 and this to show you're saved. Well, God's the only one that matters to anyways. So I don't have to prove to you, you don't have to prove to me. But I am just telling you that, as one old preacher put it, the kind of faith that saves wears work gloves. And so that faith that's big enough to save you, it will bring some changes in your life, because the Bible still says, 2 Corinthians 5, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. But you have to be careful on the scoffer side of that. You can't be this fruit inspector, so to speak, and say, oh, so he ought to do this, 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 and this, and then we'll really know that he's saved. What can I just tell you? we ought to do more being concerned about us, make sure we got it right, than everybody else. Let God worry about them and let them worry about them and go forward. But I can tell you that the salvation that you've got ought to be one that works. This teaching that I'm giving tonight, it doesn't make me want to sit here in my spiritual walk and just sit down and do nothing. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me, it makes me want to do something more for Him. You know, we don't have things around here at the church, and I don't, as your pastor, try to promote and push and prod things just so that we can say, wow, we're having big events. I want to do something because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. I really want this area to know that we're here. I want this region, I want this Tri-Cities area to know there's an old church down here that cares about them, and they may not be ready for us right now because they haven't gone through a certain tragedy. They may not be ready for us right now because a loved one of theirs hasn't died yet. They may not be ready for us right now because they're not in a tough spot in their life, but I want them to know that this old church is here so that when that loved one does pass away or when that tragedy does come in their life or when they get to a tough spot, they'll know that there's a church that's got the gospel message and that's desperately what they need. I don't want to do that just so we can build something here so that people would pat us on the back. I want to do that because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And I want us in our lives, we can't shy away from these scoffers that hit on you because you teach what the Bible says. But on the other hand, you don't want to be somebody who tries to put forth cheap salvation. This salvation we got wasn't cheap. It was free to us. But the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died so that it could be free to us. So I hope that that's a blessing as we work through this passage tonight, and I just want you to pray about these things. Father, be with us now is our prayer. The Lord, I'm just trying to go through where the book goes as we're working our way through this particular passages of Scripture. And maybe nobody in this room is struggling with looking down their nose at somebody, thinking that, well, if they were a real Christian, they wouldn't do that. Lord, keep us back from that. But maybe nobody's doing that. There may not be a person in this room that's challenging the legitimacy of somebody's salvation just because they're not doing exactly, the path is not following their path exactly. But Lord, there could be somebody. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us see that this grace that provided salvation by faith is such a wonderful, monumental thing that, Lord, it ought to spur us on to go and serve the Savior that died for us. And, Lord, I pray if there's one person in this room today, and, Lord, undoubtedly they probably know who they are right now if there is, if there's one person that has not come legitimately in faith, believing in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, turn from themselves and all their ability and turn to Jesus, if there's one that hasn't done that tonight, dear Lord, I pray they would before it's eternally too late. And then, Lord, for those that have been saved, Lord, I pray if maybe we've been idle for too long and they wonder why they're having some discontentment, wonder why they're having frustrations, Lord, wonder why they're arguing people back and forth. Maybe we're arguing with people around us because we're not looking to God above us to go reach the sinner that's out in front of us. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that is staying idle, that today that faith get kicked into gear and they do what they've been made to do and it'd run. Bless us, Father, I pray, please, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with me? As the ladies begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're the one that has been looking down your nose at somebody because their spiritual walk hasn't been precisely where yours is. I would challenge you just to leave that to the Lord and that person. Pray for them. Maybe you're the one that's not been, you've just been kind of idling for a while. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got some things. A Christian brother or sister really hurt you. I get it. There's reasons. But those reasons are going to seem pretty flimsy when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to want to say, well, I would have done more for you, Lord, but let's get that thing in gear and let's go forward. Let's find somebody to help this week. Let's find someone who needs encouragement. Let's find somebody who needs lifted. Let's find somebody who needs the gospel. Let's find somebody who needs something done in the name of Jesus. And then maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Brother Daniel standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. They're going to play another couple verses. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. If something were to happen to you tonight, you don't know for sure you go to heaven because you don't have Jesus as your Savior. Would you step out and come? We got plenty of time. Brother Daniel or somebody would like to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure your faith is placed completely, solely, entirely in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. And you take Jesus as your Savior. This way, and excuse me, what a joy to have each of you in church tonight. And we let out just a little bit early so we can slip over to the Family Life Center. And we'll take that 10 minutes back, that was from some Brother Joe's time. He held you over last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'm giving you back a little bit. But what a tremendous revival we had, by the way. Thank you for being here, and thank God for the preaching and the singing. I trust you enjoyed it. If you weren't able to be here because of work or just schedule or whatnot, I challenge you to go back and listen to some of those. They're all archived on the server and on our website. So please, when you get a chance, go back and watch, listen to those. They were a real blessing to my heart, and thank you for that. And but we'll head over to the Family Life Center. If you're able to stay for 5 minutes, you're able to stay for an hour, as long as you are, then we'll have a good time together. They've got snacks over there. They've got some games over there, a lot of fun. We'll have a good time together, and I trust that you'll enjoy each and every bit of it. Don't forget to pray one for another this week, and when God puts someone in your heart, it wasn't an accident. There are no accidents with God. God puts someone in your heart, make sure that you lift their name up in prayer. And if he puts it on your heart and you text them, you're in the habit of texting or calling them, it'd be a great idea to text them and let them know that you prayed for them. And that way, not only does it touch heaven, but also touches that other life and lets them know that somebody's thinking about them. So I challenge you to do that one for another. The Bible says we bear one another's burdens, and so we'll trust that we can do what Christ wants us to do in this church throughout this week. It's so good to have Miss Jocelyn Terrell back there and her girls, her son's back in the nursery. What a privilege it is to get to have them, wonderful, wonderful friends of our ministry. And so we haven't said much about them being here, but we've certainly been joyed that they've been here with us in the ministry house. And we thank God for them. And I want you to continue to pray that the Lord just bless, lead, and guide them as they just continue to follow the Lord and see what he would have for them as life moves along for them. So thank you again for being here. We'll have a good time over in the Family Life Center if you're able to be here. God, or be over there. God bless you. You're dismissed.